I welcome all of you to worship this evening. We have a fine selection of some traditional familiar Lent hymns and songs. We've got a number of scripture passages that will bring us right into the season. And we have a special guest appearance by Moses. We don't want him to get too big of a head tonight, though. Would you stand as we sing our first song? Two or more are gathered together in Jesus' name, he promises to be there in the midst of them.
Come, merciful Father, and be our guest.
Come, loving Savior, and be our guest.
Come, Comforter, be our guest, and fill this moment with your presence.
In the sure and confident hope that our Lord is present in this place, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us glorify him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Periods of failure come into the lives of everyone. With the glorious exception of Jesus, every hero of the Bible had their times of failure as well. Abraham and Sarah laughed at God. King David had an affair. Jonah refused to obey and ran away from the work of the Lord. Thomas doubted the promise and the testimony. The list could go on and on. All the heroes of yesterday had their areas of weakness.
Thank you.
can happen in a moment? A bad decision. A moment of fear that led to an impulse that was wrong. It can happen when things are going great. Failure invades all of our lives at one time or another. Others are devastating, not only in their effect on us, yet to those who repent, a gracious God offers full and free forgiveness. Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." We know that prayer, Lord. We know it all too well. At times we feel weak and inadequate, too sinful and unsure to be your representatives. At times we don't want to be bothered and are too self-focused to be your messengers. We lay our own inadequacies and our own unwillingness before you today. Give us your sense of value and purpose. Forgive our failings. Restore our vision of your mission and promise to be with me that your will may be done through me. Amen. You may be seated.
The scripture reading is Numbers chapter 20, verses 2 to 13 and 21, 4 to 9. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
To be patient with me. I've never been the best public speaker. Never, ever been. Same old Moses. That's right. Believe it or not, Moses, that's me. You were perhaps expecting some great and powerful figure, a leader full of authority and self-confidence, a legend walking the earth like a demigod. There is a time, too, when I expected that. But now, I'm just an old man with a tired tongue. So you have to be patient with me. I'm older than I look, and I don't speak that well. I never have. Growing up in Pharaoh's house, I thought poor speaking was the worst of my troubles. But you know the story. I wasn't Egyptian royalty. I was a Hebrew slave, rescued through the water, saved by a basket, my own personal Noah's Ark. That was all so long ago. But I don't want to bore you with all the details. You know about the murder, the escape from Egypt. You know about the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire and smoke. You heard of the tablets of stone and the golden calf. But what I want to tell you is something about me. Before the funeral, before I am laid to rest, I have seen and done so much. You could get the idea that I am something of a hero. But looking back at the whole story, from the top of this mountain, I simply feel inadequate. You know, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go back to Egypt. I didn't want to be the leader of God's people, those stiff-necked people I learned to love so dearly. I certainly never set out to be a mouthpiece for the Almighty, me, with my lack of speaking ability. Talk about the wrong decision. And I told him that. I told the great I am, I wasn't. I wasn't a good choice. I wasn't a good leader. I can't bring weighty words with my poor speaking. There, at that burning bush, I told him I wasn't up for the job, but he didn't listen to me. Oh, dear Lord, I said, please send someone else. It wasn't that I didn't want to go back, though I didn't want to go back. It wasn't like I was afraid, even though, honestly, I was afraid. Mostly, I just felt, well, not up for the job. I wasn't brave enough or smart enough, holy enough. Why would they listen to me? But in the end, my own inadequacy didn't matter to God. God decided to use Moses. So he did. I wasn't alone. God gave me Aaron and Miriam to share the burden of this leadership. God put his staff in my hand to work miracles at his word. And he sent me and all my inadequacies and my inability to speak well and my murderous background to do his bidding. I didn't look like a hero, leaving sheep behind to call on Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh didn't believe me. The people of Israel didn't believe me. I didn't believe me either. But the great I am is greater than the gods of Egypt. The great I am is greater than my inadequacy. The great I am will accomplish his purpose even when his people are weak, when they're doubting, confused, rebellious, incompetent, and afraid, like me. I learned firsthand that God can use inadequate people to do his saving work. The plagues took on the gods of Egypt one by one. These miracles came at God's holy word through my poor voice. The lamb's blood covered our doors at our houses. The angel of death passed over us, just as the gospel promised. The armies of Egypt were drowned at the waters of the Red Sea. I saw it all happen. I was part of it all, but never was I the one in control. It wasn't about me. It never was about me. If only I hadn't forgotten that truth. You see, at that burning bush, I was so focused on me. That's why I asked God, send someone else. And God, he was not pleased. I was focusing on my own weakness instead of his promise. But the longer I led this beautiful and stubborn people, the more confidence I gained. I became their leader. I spoke for God. I even saw the heaviness, the glory, and I of the I am, and my face shone with his reflection. I learned the dependence of God in my weakness, but I forgot the dependence of God on God is my strength. It was just after Miriam died. We had been wandering the wilderness for years and years and years. And the people still grumbled. They still lacked trust. They still blamed me for all their heartaches and their hard times and their fearful hearts. So the Lord told me to speak to the rock that the people and their cattle would drink and live. I no longer had Miriam's help, but I didn't need her help anymore. I had been leading God's people and doing God's work. So I told Aaron, assemble everybody together. I took that same staff that God gave me at the burning bush, that same staff that worked miracles in Egypt. I took my powerful staff in my powerful hands. I put myself on the same level as God. You hard-hearted, stiff-necked people, I yelled in righteous anger. Your grumbling has offended our honor, God and mine. But we will bring forth water from this hard rock as we did before. And though God commanded me to speak to the rock with my weak speaking voice, I took that staff and I hit the rock 2 times to show who was in charge. Oh, and the people got their water, but I, who was saved through water, was also condemned through water. I forgot the most important part of being God's servant. It's not about me. Since I made Moses as important as God, I'm stuck here on this mountain while Joshua prepares the people to enter into the promised land. From here, I can see the land of promise out there, just over the ridge, but I won't be going in. We buried Aaron in the wilderness. God himself will bury me here on this crag, and I will have to wait for the day of the resurrection before the promised land is fulfilled to me. Being barred from the land might seem like a steep price to pay for hitting one lousy rock. And it sometimes feels that way to me. But my sin wasn't a simple disobedience. I made myself as important as God. I stopped depending on his word, and I thought I could do it all on my own. He should have buried me right then and there, at the rock of testing. But I'm glad he didn't. I got another chance to learn that whether I feel powerful or inadequate, it's not about me. After we buried Aaron, I was all on my own. The people became impatient yet again. This time, the Lord sent poisonous snakes. Their bite burned. People died. But when they returned to the Lord to confess their sin, I prayed for them. It was always my honor to pray for them. And God gave a way for the people to be saved. This time, I wasn't supposed to speak. This time, I needed no staff. This time, it wasn't about me. Instead, it was all about God telling me to take some metal and shape it like a snake, just like the ones biting and killing God's people. And the bronze snake, put that bronze snake up on a pole. I have to admit, shaping a serpent seemed kind of strange at that time. I saw the finger of God write commandments. You shall have no other God. You shall have no graven images. And the same God who told me that told me to pulverize the golden calf. And now he was asking me to make the shape of a bronze serpent. A snake of all things. Can you believe it? We know all about the snake, the tempter, the enemy, the one who got us kicked out of the land of promise in the first place. A snake taught us idolatry to begin with. But this bronze snake on a pole wasn't supposed to be worshipped. It wasn't an idol or a talisman. Instead, the snake became a symbol of sin. Our sin. The bronze serpent was a sign of the punishment and death our sin deserved. That twisted shape lifted up before God became sin for us. Our constant grumbling, our failure to trust, our stubborn rejection, our hard hearts strung up on a tree. And anyone who looked at that curse lifted up in the wilderness saw the promise of God and lived. From here, I can see the promised land still far off in the distance, and I can hear the people begin their journey home. The Lord will come again soon to plant my old body in this warm, fertile ground. While I wait for the Lord to come, that bronze serpent is a comfort. It's a reminder that God is going to keep leading his people even without me, Moses. God will fulfill his promises in his way and in his time. And when the people sin, and when they rebel, when they grumble and turn away, God himself will provide a way, a means of forgiveness, a sign of God's anger poured out and satisfied, lifted high on a pole. And all who look to it will live.
Thank you.
Each of our prayer petitions this evening will end with the words, "Perfect Son of God," and you may respond, "Cover us with your holiness that we might live for you." I invite you to rise for prayer. God of impossibility, thank you for showing us through your servant Moses that you are capable of using the weak things of this world to show your strength. Grant us the ability never to give up on ourselves and our capabilities, and to never give up on you, perfect Son of God. Cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. In this Lenten season, Lord, we come to you because we know that we are sinners and not good enough to win salvation for ourselves. Help us to remember that we are only made right with you through the suffering and death of your Son Jesus on the cross. Keep us ever dependent on his ability to free us forever from the evil of sin. Perfect Son of God, cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. Heavenly Father, we sometimes fall into despair and think we cannot do anything right. We beat ourselves up and put ourselves down for our own faults and failings. Help us to remember that we are made new through Jesus, and with you by our side, there's nothing we cannot do. By your mercy and favor, according to your good and gracious will, perfect Son of God, cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. So often we compare ourselves with others and come to the conclusion that we do not measure up to what others have accomplished. Give us the ability to see that you have created us for specific tasks that are unique to us. We do not need to compete with others. We only need to do what you have designed us to do to build up your family of faith and bring glory to you. Perfect Son of God, cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. Lord, you sent Jesus to be our Savior, and he was not born in a castle. He lived a humble life. He came to be served, not to serve. May we mirror the way of Christ in our approach to tasks and our approach to others. Give us servant hearts that seek to satisfy the needs of others before our own. And give us grace not to pursue fame or fortune in this world, but treasure instead the riches of heaven, won for us by Jesus. Perfect Son of God, cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. Only Jesus lived the perfect life. Help us to remember that as we encounter imperfections in our bodies, in the world, and in our lives, be with those suffering with the imperfections of illnesses and injuries, conditions and diseases, especially Dan, Vern, Marcia, Katie, Cassidy, Quinn, baby Nona, baby Relin, Evelyn, Linda, Vernette, Alice, Bonnie, Dick, Jennifer. And we pray for the family and friends of Billy Graham. We thank you for his ministry that touched more than 215 million people, Lord. May he continue to be an example to all. Guard and guide all of us to healing and recovery of body, mind, and soul as you will. Perfect Son of God, cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. Grant us each day the wisdom to know what your will is for our lives. Fill us with the comfort of the cross of Christ, upon which your will was done for our benefit. May we never forget that we are so deeply precious to you. Perfect Son of God, cover us with your holiness that we might live for you. All these petitions we offer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who did the will of God and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Amen.